The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is such an honor and the privilege to be here. Thank you to Pastor Femi for the honor. I've known Pastor Femi for more than 35 years. He's my big brother and he's really a man of God. Please, where's that lady that played the saxophone? Come and play that thing again. Listen, today I'm going to be speaking about the provisions of redemption. About the tools that God has given you to live a victorious life. I'm going to be speaking today and I'm going to be speaking next Sunday, so I'll try and pace myself. But listen, it's important that you understand that you can live a victorious life. And it is not in God's hands, it's in yours. Right? Because His divine power has given us everything. Right? So we're going to go into a very, very spiritual session now. But I need to lay the groundwork. Just keep playing. Lord, just keep playing. Anytime you hear the word of God being spoken, the word of God, oh, it's a time to meet with God. Regardless of who is speaking that word to you. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse measures spoke through the agency of the prophets, is now speaking through His Son. So it is the prerogative of God to speak. You cannot tell Him how He should speak. You are the one that wants to hear. So anytime you get the opportunity to hear the word of God, you don't take it for granted. Your spirit must be ready. Your soul must be willing to receive. It is literally heaven meeting earth. Right? Now, I can speak. The Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 20 that He sent His word. You know, I grew up in church, and whenever a guest minister comes to church, after we have a debate on how deep. Some of you are laughing, I know. Now, that guy deep, that one, that guy, not to try, but. As I started to grow up, I realized that there is no good or a bad message. There's only a sent message. Do you hear what I'm saying? He said He sent His word, and it's what healed them. If you carry your spirit and your spirit is ready, I can read the newspaper here and you will live with a miracle. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's no good or a bad message. There's only what? A sent message. So He said He sent His word and His word healed them. Because it is whose word? So I can speak, but I cannot send the word. Right? Mark 16:20 said they went out and preached everywhere. He said, God with them, confirming His words with what? I can speak, I cannot confirm the word. The confirmation of the word depends on your communion with God. The Bible says, Ezekiel 2:2, He said, the Spirit entered into me when He spoke to me and set me on my feet. I can speak, I cannot enter into you. It is the Holy Spirit that does that. So if you can pray in the Spirit for the next 30 seconds, pray in the Spirit and ask God to answer specific questions in your heart today. Some of you have come to church on a stretcher. I perceive in my spirit that there's someone in church today who has come on a stretcher. And they have just said, God, this is it. Come on, come on, play, come on. Senia corudes que te le bregue. Eriba dante de nombre qui de Sadabaya katae. Ilaibria suta libra de chede de baharu. Kede de vocodos qui te le brende liente. Carudex de que brisotos. Brisotos que de ziato. Come on, one more minute. Irica dante. Leprus que te le breve de chete. Rako soto sparuzete, Holy Spirit, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, Spirit of life, chase away every dead thing today in the name of Jesus. Sidia korudes ketele brevedos, shadi barak de kede, eruba dus ketile iride uye rigere. One more time, come on. You are good, you are kind. I have never seen your kind. Father, we ask that you answer specific questions today in the name of Jesus. Send a word that will change the way we live. Send a word that will change our lives. Send a word that will send us into the next growth sprout in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may have your seat. You guys don't go anywhere. Just we're together here. If I can stand, you can stand. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not just a family. It's also a kingdom. The realm of God, I want you to listen to me carefully. You don't need to hear everything I'm saying, no. You just need one thing. The realm of God is not just a family. It's what? It's what? Help me now. It's what? In a family, significance is tied to birthright. So, the older you are, the firstborn, and all those things we've heard, which is good on one level. But in a kingdom, significance is tied to alignment to the agenda of the king. Did you hear what I said? In a kingdom, significance is tied to what? So what am I saying? In a family, the most important person is probably the firstborn, and the parents show it, especially if it's a son in this part. Let's be honest, eh? But in a kingdom, the most important person is the one that we call them systemically important people. I want to speak to you over the next 2 weeks about being systemically important to God. And I will use some of the patriarchs as examples so you see what they did and how they engaged the provisions of redemption. I once heard Steve Jobs say something about the culture of Apple, and I thought it was quite interesting. He said, those who are on mission critical assignments are treated differently. Do you know what that means? It means that if the design and the delivery of the iPhone 15 is on your desk, if you're in that team, your salary is different. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you are just coming to work and you are going every day, your salary is different. But if the next thing that the company wants to, product that the company wants to release into the world, if you are part of the team that is in the core design, your perks and your salary is what? Different. So God has moves on the earth. And he has people that he uses. And most of the time, it's not the noisy people that we know. You know why? Because vital organs are hidden. Do you hear what I'm saying? And sometimes you have to know when you are a vital organ. Because I hear people praying prayers that are against their destiny. Say you want to blow. God say, I want to hide you. You say you want to blow. Let them know me. God say, I want to hide you. The minute the heart wants to function from outside, is the body not in trouble? It's over, eh? But God now put the heart and now put the ribs to protect it. Why? Because vital organs are what? Write these things down. I'm laying the foundation. And so there are three ways in which, I was going to use my slides, but since I don't have a clicker, I'm going to talk to you directly. And we can understand ourselves. So let me lay this foundation from where I stopped the last time I came here. I hope you remember. That the Bible says, and God formed man of the dust of the ground. So I'll release the scriptures. You can write them down. If there's anyone we need to read, we'll read. So Genesis 2, right, verse 7, it said, God formed man of the dust of the ground, and what? Breathed into his nostrils, and man became what? Man, help me now. Who said another speaking? I wish I had pure water to give you. The Bible says a living soul, but the translation says another speaking spirit. So you know what that means? It means there were two speaking spirits on the earth. God and man. And you know why speech is important? Because, I write this down, the primary purpose of words is not for communication, it's for creation. The primary purpose of words is what? It's for, okay, if you can follow me, thank you. It's for what? Creation. So, in order to make man a co-creator, God needed to give him what? The ability to speak. So, I don't know what you are using your words for. But the primary purpose of words is what? For creation. So, the life you have today is the life you created. Just take it or leave it. Don't argue. That's the truth. Right? So, there were two speaking spirits on the earth. And man was that seeking spirit. Now, in order to make the loop of creation complete, understand what God is doing here. Because I want to explain how the physical realm works and how the spirit realm works and how both of them connect. Because that's where you become mature, right? In order to make the creation loop complete, God now gave everything ears. Are you following my story? He first gave man speech. He first gave everything ears, then he gave man speech. So when God was creating the fish and the things in the water, what did the Bible say? He said he spoke to what? The water. Have you ever considered it? That the water can hear. So when he wanted to create the creeping things in the ground, what did he do? He spoke to what? The ground. So when he took Ezekiel to the valley of the dry bones, what did he do? He said what? Speak. So the first law about faith, because faith comes by hearing, is that everything has ears. In John, he says the time is coming and is now when the dead shall hear. Have you ever seen that? I mean, sometimes, the Bible just, not sometimes, every time it amazes me. If you read it and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on it, some of those things are amazing. He said the dead shall what? So hearing is an everlasting gift. It doesn't die when you die. That's the second thing about hearing. You know why it's necessary for that to be? So that faith can bring about resurrection. So hearing is what? An everlasting gift. So Jesus came to the tomb of John, of Lazarus. Even, you know, I like the way it was expressed. I'm old school, so I like King James. He said, he that was dead, when Jesus shouted Lazarus, come forth, he said, he that was dead, what? Came out. You know why? If Jesus did not say Lazarus, all the dead men there would have come out. I'm telling you, it's not a kidney. All the dead men, you say me, just, you say Jesus, not me. Anyway, whether you say me or not, I don't hold your word. Look, it is the responsibility is on you, not on God. So Peter said, Jesus, if you can say come, I will come. Let it just come out of your mouth. I will do the rest. Let it come out of your mouth. This sickness cannot stay. That's what the centurion said. He said, you see me, I'm a soldier. With what I understand about soldiering, if I call one man, he will come. I perceive that you have the same power over sickness and death. So me, even though you have not told me, I believe that if you call, he said, speak the word only. You know what that means? Don't add your presence to it. He said, only your word is enough. Jesus said, Kai, Baba, you get me. Yet we die like mere men. And we fall ill like mere men. So if the kingdom of God is more than just a family, it's about time. I can preach for 4 hours. If the kingdom of God is more than just a family, that means God is more than just your father. I want to go into the new stuff now. And the way you relate to God determines your experience. As for God, his way is what? Perfect. If you are not living something that is promised, the problem is not with God. The problem is with you. Let God be truth. Let every man be a liar. So I want to teach you, how do you get more out of this God? God is three things. And I want you to see these three things. One, he's a father. The head of the family, right? God is also a king. And a king is a judge. Right? The one who has the idea, who has the agenda. And God is a spirit. And these are three levels of maturity. So a father is loving. Thank you. The king is a judge, the spirit is a guide, an executor. Right? Now if you move to the next slide, you see we relate with God based on ourselves. So if you relate with God as a child, then you only see him as a father. And I'm going somewhere with this, please follow me. As a father, God relates with us as his children. And when I speak of children, I'm talking about Galatians 4:1, when it says an heir, even though he's potentially Lord of all, is not better than a toddler. Right? And you know what determines the difference between child and son in the spirit is a lot of things. But the first thing is the ability to speak for themselves. You know, if you have a house help who is eating your child's food, and you just notice that the child is losing weight. But this, you know, you are at work every day, you don't know what's happening. But the day the child looks at the other and says, come on, stop that nonsense, I will tell mom. No, it's over. So a child is a child as long as he cannot talk for himself. It's funny how everything is tied to your speech. So it's not a cliche when they say a closed mouth is a closed destiny. So God relates with us as a father when we are children. He relates with us as a king when we are sons. And he relates with us as a spirit when we've entered into the fullness of our spiritual birthright. So as a spirit, God relates with us and expects us to relate with him as a spirit. Move to the next slide. I want to show you something. Now, the provisions of redemption are the tools that God has given us to overcome the world. The first one is the blood of Jesus that brings us into alignment. That's the provision of redemption. So no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, the devil convinces you to move far away from God when it seems that you have sinned. But God said, come, because the blood of Jesus washes away sin. When John saw Jesus, what did he say? He said, behold the Lamb of God that what? Takes away the sin of the world. Now, that blood is a major provision of redemption. But it is different things to different people based on their maturity. Right? So, for a, and I want you to, I'm deliberately taking it slow. I don't want it to be like a fire hydrant this morning. So that we can, if you get one thing I'm saying, your life will, you know, do you understand? Now, a child uses the blood for forgiveness of sin alone. A baby Christian. Oh God, I've done it again, I'm back, forgive me. And you know you can stay in that cycle for decades. Ah, I'm here again, it's me again, forgive me. And you're in that cycle. But God loves you, he's going to keep forgiving you, right? But he wants you to move out of that place. Now let me tell you what the blood means. And so you understand what you say. First of all, let me say this, that the spirit realm works like a legal environment. We say it's legalistic. That's why when Paul was explaining the blood and explaining faith in Hebrews 11, he set it in a courtroom. Because that's one of the way. And if you're taking any course in law, law of thought, law of contracts, you will see parallels between Hebrews 11 and the legal process. Right? How many lawyers do we have here? You see, thank you. You understand some of the things I'm saying easier than some of the people here. So let me explain it to you this way. I may not be able to finish the provisions in these two Sundays, but if you can get one or two, believe me, your life will not remain the same. So the blood of Jesus is such that we sinned and we fell, and Jesus came to take away the sin. Now, why did Jesus need to come to take away the sin? Because God is spirit, and spirits don't forgive. Did you hear what I said? I hope I'm not scattering your theology. In the traditional way that we know forgiveness, like overlooking, you say, I'm sorry. Okay, it's okay. I have two sons. One is 4, one is 8. And the 8-year one is just... He likes to mess with his elder brother, you know. So he goes to him and does something. And I can see the mischief in his eyes. And then he comes and says, I'm sorry. And that one says, it's okay. But spirits don't forgive that way. Forgiveness in the spirit realm doesn't work that what way. In order for you to be forgiven in the spirit realm, your sin must be taken away. So that God does not see it again. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? The sin must what? Be blotted out. So even in the Old Testament, he said they will call a goat and they will confess the sin on the goat and they will escort the goat into the wilderness. Right? So God had a quagmire on his hands. How do we take care of this? See, I'm speaking slowly like less, not like the last time. I'm older now. You know, I'm getting more mature. I'm sure Pastor Femi is laughing. Listen. So spirits don't forgive. And I said spirits definitely, deliberately, so you understand I'm talking about the spirit realm and not just God. So the devil accuses, keeps a record and what? Accuses. Which is why I always say that if someone offends you and you don't forgive them, then you start playing the role of the devil as an accuser. And you cannot play the role of an accuser and a lover at the same time. So when we say forgive people, it's for your sake, not for them. Right? So what does God do? God now brings his son to take away the sins of the world. So when we get to the courtroom and the accuser is standing there and they say, what do you plead? There are three. There are normally two pleas, right? Lawyer, the law. There are two pleas. Guilty or? Guilty means I did it. Not guilty means I did not do it. The blood of Jesus allows a third plea, which is what we mean when we say we plead the blood of Jesus. It's not just music. We plead the blood of Jesus. It's a legal statement, which means I did it, but someone has paid the price. And that's why the principle of double jeopardy comes into play in the spirit realm. The Lord, are you feeling me? She's feeling me. What's double jeopardy? It means if someone kills somebody, let's say someone kills somebody, and they take him to court, they convict him and give him 20 years in prison. Let's imagine. Yeah? And then because he's so well behaved, they release him after 10 years. And then he's walking on the streets of Lekki. And then he sees the person they said he killed walking on the streets. This is the reason why he went to jail, walking on the streets. Lawyer, what can he do at that point? He can carry a gun and shoot the guy. That's double jeopardy. In fact, he'll call police, army, the judge, and say, I'm about to kill this guy. I'm putting up a show. Set up sound for me. And when he kills the guy, nobody can touch him because he has paid the price. You understand how double jeopardy and the blood work? Jesus has come and paid the price so that you now have access to God's presence. So stop running away. Come and embrace God fully. But then God doesn't want you to stay at that Babel level where you keep coming, say, I've done it. So on one level, the blood restores alignment as a child. But as a son, you can use the blood for deeper things. And this is where I'm going. The Bible says, and mark your lintel with the blood, your doorposts. He said, when I see the mark of the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So the blood can be used for exemption too, from destruction. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So as you enter into a certain level of sonship, you need a certain level of relationship where you get to a place and maybe something is going around and you say, by the power in the blood, I exempt. You lay hands on your children and you exempt them. You know, people say, oh, we're afraid. You cannot keep your children at home because you're afraid of what's going on in the world, right? But we live in this world, so you lay hands on them and you say you're exempted. Anytime I'm leaving my children, and I know I'm traveling for an extended period, there's a tutu that we always do. You're looking at me, you don't understand. I'm here to teach you how to do a tutu. We will do one today, you see. You say, so it was whenever the axe set forward that Moses said, rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered and let them that hate you flee before you. That's what we say over them. As Pastor Femi, he knows it. He does it too. And then when we return, we say, return, Lord. That's what Moses did in the wilderness. Anytime the camp was ready to move, he declared over them. He said, so it was, whenever the ark set forward, Numbers 10:35, he said that Moses declared, rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered. That means we are clearing the road. And let them that hate you flee before you. And then when they came to rest in the night, he said, return, Lord, to the whole multitude of God's favorite house. These are things that God has given you. Why are you not saying it? Because you need relationship. Now, remember the third one is spirit. So the first one is what? Child. Second one is what? Son. A son is a soldier, a subject. So God wants to relate with you as a subject, not just as a child. A subject that he can give instruction and you carry it. This is the realm of obedience. where you not say, oh God, sorry, you told me. I mean, how long will you in your life can you be saying, God, you told me I didn't do it, sorry, forgive me? You will never amount to much. You'll be in the kingdom, right? But you will never amount to much. So if you are one of those that is waiting, and we have been doing this thing for years, thunder has not fired us, but you are losing out. Do you understand? You are losing out. You never amount to much. So a son, God wants to release instructions. Now a spirit is the level I enjoy. Very sweet. Now you've heard about the five love languages. How many of you have heard of it? I know there are romantic people here. The five love languages. What are they? Someone said money. Jesus. In this choir, money. Hey, one name. Is money there? What are the love languages? Words of affirmation, blah, 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 all that. But what is the love language of spirits? What is the love language of spirits? What is the love language of God? You know what you do when you say acts of service? You are loving him the way you want to be loved. Because that's probably your love language. But let me tell you this. The Bible says God is spirit. And those that worship him must do it in spirit. So what is his love language? What's worship? What does it mean in real life? That's why we can't use it. Who said it? I wish I had pure water for you. Look, sacrifice is the love language of spirit. The Bible said by faith, Abel offered up a more excellent what? By faith, Abel offered up a more excellent what? So God, in expressing that love towards us, what did he do? Sacrifice his only son. This is the realm of spirit now, when you operate like a dominion, like a spirit on the earth. Where God's agenda, you have sacrificed your agenda for his agenda. Eh? I always say it, only a man without an agenda can preach the gospel. Only a man without an agenda can walk with God. Where you have sacrificed your agenda for what? His agenda, your obedience. Anything he tells you, you what? You do straight. Sacrifice is what? Write it down. Oh, this thing I've said to you, the Holy Spirit will open it to you over the next few years. But it's a deep mystery. That sacrifice is the love language of, say it. And God is spirit. So sacrifice is the love language of God. God told Abraham, he said, circumcise all the male children in Israel. Abraham circumcised them and they were weak, right? Then came Moses and he married an outsider. God told them, don't marry outsiders. But Moses married a Midianite, Zipporah. And reading the Bible, I can tell, they gave birth to a son. And she refused to circumcise him. The way I read the Bible, it has to apply to every day. So some of you, God is telling you, and I don't know why I'm getting it, but that guy that is chasing you is an outsider, leave him. There's someone here. I'm not pointing here because it's coming from there. I'm just saying. There's someone in this auditorium, you're almost going to get hitched to someone. He's an outsider. God says you should run. Are you listening to me? You know yourself. Don't come and meet me after service. You know yourself. God said you should run. She said, it's not me. I'm just saying what I'm hearing. He looks like everything. He comes to church, but he's an outsider. Have you heard? She has heard. So she refused to circumcise Geshom. Have you seen that story in the Bible? And then God, and then Moses, she's laughing, okay. And then Moses now said, don't come and meet me after service. I've seen you now, don't come and meet me after service. They're laughing. Look, I said God who at sundry times and in diverse manner, right? Forget the vessel, God is speaking. It's an opportunity to reach you. He has said it now. If you marry that guy in 10 years, you are dead. Now, so God, Moses left his family in Midian when God called him to go to Egypt. Moses was a deep and wise man. He left his family. But his oversabi father-in-law brought them. I said, Moses, you cannot go on mission and leave your family in Midian. You know, you have to be careful that your mentors don't become tormentors. I'll tell you why. Now, because Gershom was not circumcised, and Moses knew that there was disobedience there. But Moses was a meek man, so he wasn't going to fight her over it. Are you with me? So they got to a place, and God gave Moses instruction on what he would do when he gets to Egypt. Full instruction. This is what you do. These are the finish. Then in the evening, they went to the inn, and then God showed up to kill his son. He's in the Bible. Trust me, go and read it. Then God showed up. He said he made to kill him. Now, Zipporah knew what was going on. So you know what she did? Who can tell me what she did? Who knows here? Yo, so you guys have read it. Immediately, she circumcised the boy and threw the foreskin at Moses. And she said, you are a bloody husband, a bridegroom of blood. So if you can't find the Bible, just Google bridegroom of blood. It will take you to the Bible. I like you guys. You're bringing out your phone. Google it. So she was angry. So she knew what to do. She knew where the issue was. So she circumcised him immediately. See how you people are looking. You like story. She circumcised him immediately and threw the foreskin at Moses. Said she was upset because she was an outsider. She didn't understand that covenant and that tradition. And you know what the Bible says? It says immediately this God stopped. He didn't kill him again. So why would God give a man instruction about an assignment in the morning and try to kill his son in the night? Because spirits don't forgive. Spirits don't cover up. The disobedience has to be what? Dealt with. And God also did it in his mercy, you know, because he knew that the spirit of death was going to go over Egypt. And if Gershom entered Egypt, he would have died. The way Pharaoh's son died. And that testimony would have been tainted. If Gershom entered Egypt, he would have died also. Because the antidote to the spirit of death was not just the blood, it was the covenant that God had put in them. So some things that I said, why did God do this to me? He's trying to sort you and make you straight so that the next phase of your life will not kill you. So we dealt with the blood. My time is running out. Let's quickly deal with prayer. And then I want to do one sacrifice before we go. Prayer is earthly permission for heavenly intervention. You know why prayer is required? Because the Bible says that the heavens belong to the Lord. The earth he gave to who? The earth he gave to who? The sons of men. So it means that, and Lord, I'll call you again. That in order to get anything done on the earth, you do it by faith. If you are going to do it God's way, you do it by faith. But the first law of faith is jurisdiction, then ownership, then possession. You cannot go to America now and just start working. You need jurisdiction, the right to operate here. Then you open bank accounts. That's why undocumented people are poor. So the first law, if you are now, how many of you are documented in the spirit? This is a question that you need to ask yourself. That means in the spirit, do you have a standing? Have you made your documentation correct? The blood is the first contract, right? If you are not, you know the Bible says men ought to pray always and not faint. That's the definition of man, no? Someone that prays always and not faint. So if you don't pray always, I don't think, in the spirit, you might not be a man. You might be a sacrifice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Asun. I'm not joking. You might be asun. They're just waiting. It's a matter of time before they will roast you. And you start running from pillar to post. You have to understand when the Bible says this thing that is deliberate. Right? So prayer is earthly permission for what? Because he has given the earth to the sons of men. God, in bringing Jesus to life, had to pass him through the womb of a woman so that Jesus will have jurisdiction on the earth. So when Jesus went from place to place, you know what he called himself? The Son of Man. Why did he call himself the Son of Man? To tell them, I have the right to operate here. He allowed the womb of a woman to bring it to pass, but he did not allow the sperm of a man to corrupt it. So anytime God wants to do something big in your life, he said, this is the way. He said, the birth of Jesus on this wise, or on this wisdom. He said, this is the way I bring my life, my plans into being. That the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you, and the thing that you are carrying will be separate from the influence of man, so that I can take the glory. So some of you, you are going to meet your uncle. You are killing it. You are going to meet, who do I know? You are killing it. God said, auntie, he said, this child will not learn. You get the idea, you go and look, how do we get investor? Investor. He's going to meet your mentor, he's a tormentor. And because they've never seen anything like it on the earth, they don't understand the interpretation. But Paul said, first of all, we did not have any conversation with flesh and blood. So prayer is earthly permission for what? Heavenly intervention. Now, in the hands of a child, prayer is used to procure things. I want. So if they say, someone said, we pray a lot in Nigeria. Why don't they? Because the prayer is the prayer of children. I want a car. I want a house. It's the most rudimentary thing you can ever pray for. I've never prayed for those things in a long time. In the hands of a son, prayer is used to take territories because he is a soldier who carries out instruction. In the hands of a spirit, prayer is used for intercession. The most powerful man in any room is the intercessor. Prayer is used, in the hands of a spirit, prayer is used to raise altars. So God will send you on covert missions to raise altars in strange countries. You are a vital organ. Nobody knows you have entered. Now, people like that are dominions, coriotes. They are dominions. They are emissaries. Do you think that someone that is on a critical mission for God like that will be praying about what to eat? Come on. The last one, and I go, is praise. There are more, but we'll continue next Sunday. Praise is a powerful tool in the faith journey. You know why? Don't worry, there's no slide on this one. I'm going off script because the Holy Spirit asked me to do this. Because faith comes by hearing, and in order to hear, you have to keep your joy up, right? Because a depressed heart cannot access light, right? And it is joy that we use to draw water from the wells of salvation. Water is the word from God. So if you're the devil, what he wants to do is depress you and then touch your joy. That's what he wants to do. Once he affects your joy, you see, joy is that bucket that you used to draw water. If there are now holes in the bucket, by the time he gets up, what's happening? There's nothing. It's leaking. So he wants to heat your joy. Right? Your job is to keep your joy level up, and that's what praise does. So on one level, praise, you know, in the hands of a child, praise is used to thank God only when he has done something for you. Only when he has done something for you. But you see, a son and a spirit, spirits use praise, right, to keep the joy level up, to receive what God is doing on the earth. Not for them, what God is doing on the earth. To hear the voice of God, right? So I'll give you an example, and then I want us to try something. And then I want testimonies next Sunday. Paul and Silas were in prison. The Bible says they had flogged them, they put them in prison. And at midnight, said they prayed. Now, if you read it carefully and you do a bit of research, you will find out that they were not singing these praise songs that we sing mundanely. They were reciting hymns. Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. And then they were reciting Psalm 136 over and over again. So when he said they praised, they sang, they were actually reciting hymns. Let me stand up on your feet. Let me show you what they were doing. Open to Psalm 136. Oh, let's start from Psalm 114. Oh, no. Open Psalm 136. Psalm 114 talks about God chasing Jordan away. All the mighty things he had done. Psalm 113 to 118 talks about those mighty things that he had done. Where are the musicians? Talked about those mighty things. So, you know what they needed to do? They needed to remind themselves. You know, when you come and you say, magnify the Lord, can you magnify the Lord? Can you make him bigger than he is? No, you are magnifying him in your consciousness. And when you praise, what you are doing is bringing him above that problem. What you are doing is bringing that deadline or that problem under God. So Paul and Silas came and they said, Psalm 136, when I read, you will respond by saying, for his good, for his mercies endure forever, right? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords. To him alone who doeth great wonders. To him who by wisdom made the heavens and the earth. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. And brought Pharaoh out from among them. With a strong and an outstretched arm. To him that divided the Red Sea into parts. Now do you see what Paul and Silas were doing? They were reminding themselves that someone that parted the Red Sea, this prison has nothing. That's what praise does. That's what it does. That's the A22 level of praise. That's why you find out that when they came to the wall of Jericho, he said they should do the same thing. When they went to war and he placed an ambushment over the other armies, he said they should do the same thing. Isn't it curious that people brought armies and they brought guns and God said, praise me. He said, because you are afraid, because you don't remember who I am. That's why you're afraid. If you remember who I am, then you will know that I have given you everything to surmount this. How many people have a deadline this week? Something that is going to embarrass you. How many people have sickness? Don't lift your hands. Talk to God in your body that you are managing. I'm not going to ask you to pray. I want us to try something. Do you know Nisha Yanu? Not Nathaniel's one, wrote to me. Don't worry, I'll show you, I'll teach you. I want you to give us 5 minutes. I'll give you a loop that you just be playing. Where's the drummer? You're the one that will help me. I want you to, in your mind, first of all, over the next 30 seconds, lift God above those things. Magnify him. He said, to him that parted the Red Sea, to him that made great lights, which means he can show the way out of this thing. He can show the way out. He can show the way out of this embarrassing situation. He can show the way out. His light that we need. He made the great lights. If you want to see miracles every day, these are the things that you must understand. To him that made great lights, we can never be confused about decisions because he is the one that made the great lights. The song is just this line. Ah, Belon Sheo Nisha Yanu. That's what we are going to sing. Come on. Ah, Belon Sheo Nisha Yanu. Ah. Listen. If you are going to be cute about this, let's not do it. If you want to dance, come front. If you find a partner, that will encourage you. If you need CSC and CNS, you know, This one is not. Look, let me tell you. We are doing a tutu now. Sacrifice. Sacrificing our emotions. And the way this thing should make us feel. For the praise of God. Loving God at the highest point of what he wants. Look, I told you, when you come to the presence of God, is the gate of heaven. Don't look at the next person beside you. The Holy Spirit gave me this instruction. It's not on my slides, which means next Sunday we will hear testimonies. Come on, help me now. Ah, Belonshen. Who is going to be my partner? Stop. Slow down. You are getting it now. It's seeping into your spirit now. In 2000, listen to me. In 2002, I lost my dad. And he died in my arms. So I left the general hospital where he died. And I went straight home. And I put on a song on the radio and I started dancing. On my deck and I started dancing. I left my gate open so some lady who heard, one of the mamas, came to. She looked through the glass door. And saw me dancing. The father has died, the son has gone mad. But you see, this is what David did. David understood it. Right? David what? Understood it. Now, you are standing after that situation has come and gone. That's where you are standing now. The devil has struck you with his worst, expecting you to go into depression and sadness. And your response is what? That's how God does. He's a miracle worker. Your response is what? This is how he does. He's a what? Come on, one more time. Ah, Belonshe Onisha Iyanu. Ah, Belonshe Onisha Iyanu. As we release this fragrance to you, O Lord, we receive of the dew of heaven on every dry land and parched land in this place. We receive of the dew of heaven plenty of corn and wine. We receive healing in our bodies. We receive light, for decisions. We receive favor with man and influence with God. In the name of Jesus. If you are here and you have not given your life to Jesus, everything we are saying, you have not even started the child journey, because the blood secures alignment. I'd like you to just lift up your hands and come out quickly. Let me tell you, there's such urgency that we don't have time to, you don't have time to waste, to start thinking, what will they think about me? Because even the people here, let me tell you the truth, are still working out their salvation. Those of us that have been at it for 20 years. So you are in good company. This is a safe place to just say, Jesus, I'm coming. I surrender everything to you. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. Let me see your hands up if you want to give this your life to Jesus. I say, just take it. Take my life. I submit it to you. Let us see what you can do with it. Father, we thank you, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be. Say, we surrender. We surrender. Oh, we surrender. We surrender. Oh. Hallelujah, hallelujah.